Miranda is now going to bring this morning's reading for us.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Miranda. So we're now going to hand over to Caroline, who's going to preach for us this morning.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you today, and especially speaking to you from this wonderful passage in Romans 6. There's so much I can say, it's so rich. But what I really want us to focus on today is this. In Christ, we can know and experience freedom from the power of sin. And to help us understand just how awesome this fact is, I want us just to step back from the book of Romans and take a look at the bigger picture and reflect on this truth that God created and perfected us in his image as a reflection of him. And we are part of God's wonderful, awesome creation. And we see aspects of God mirrored all around us, don't we? For example, in acts of kindness and giving and care and compassion and love. And we see the majesty and beauty of God reflected in creation. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything that he has made, and indeed, it was very good. Yet it doesn't take much for us to realise all is not well with us or creation. When we look at ourselves and the world around us, we see the work of sin. We see that destruction, oppression, greed, injustice, just to name a few. The fact is, sin has power over us. If we give into it, sin will eat away at our willpower and resolve. Ultimately, sin eats away at our humanity. It degrades us and attacks the very life of our souls, and we become enslaved. Sin has infected each one of us. The prophet Isaiah describes sin as a scarlet stain on our souls. And not one of us can remove this ourselves. No amount of trying to do good works or doing good can put this right in the eyes of God. So what do we do? Well, I say this, and this is what Paul is really emphasising. We recognise what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has saved us through his death on the cross and glorious resurrection from the tomb. And we trust in his atoning sacrifice. Jesus has put things right for us with God. He's restored that relationship. And even more, his sacrifice has completely turned the world on its axis, and the power of sin no longer has a hold on us, and the destructive forces no longer have a hold on creation. Death is overcome with life. Hope is restored. And this is why Paul is so clear in his encouragement to the believers in Rome. But rather, he says, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. In effect, he's saying to them, why are you living as if you're still spiritually dead? Paul reminds them of their baptism. He says, your old life is buried with Christ and you've died to your old ways of sin. Jesus rose again for the glory of God. And we too should consider ourselves as dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus. Many years ago, after coming to know and accept Jesus Christ for myself, I had the most wonderful opportunity to visit the Holy Land. And to add to my excitement about this, I was also able to get baptized in the River Jordan, no less. Wow. And I can distinctly remember walking down to the water's side and thinking, in a few moments, I'm going down under that water and my old life is going down with it. And when I rise again out of that water, that's it. I'm a new creation in Christ. And that's the reality for us. So here comes, though, the pivotal question. And Paul writes, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? And Paul is clear in his answer, by no means. And here, Paul repeats what he's already said at the beginning of chapter 6. So he's really trying to get this point across to us, isn't he? And he expands on his explanation by presenting two opposing masters. So one called sin and one called righteousness. Back in the 70s, Bob Dylan famously wrote these lyrics. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. The fact is, we cannot sit on the fence in this matter. We can't remain neutral. We all have a master, and it's either God or sin. So which one are we going to serve? Paul reminds the believers in Rome of their old life, serving sin as their master. Yes, he says to them, you are free from the control of righteousness, of God's ways. But what benefit did it reap from carrying out those things that you are now ashamed of? That immorality, the evil deeds, the sinful deeds. Plus he starkly mentions those things result in death. God does not stand for those things, and they are not part of God's new creation. So see the contrast when choosing righteousness as your master. And Paul says the advantage is you get sanctification and the free gift of God. Free gift, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the good news. We're saved by God's amazing love and grace. And it's a free gift for us that we can choose to accept. I hope you can see that this is about relationship, a restored relationship with God, the one who created us and breathes life, his very life into us, has removed the stains of sin. We can stand spotless in his eyes. As we stand in Christ, literally we're seen as white as snow. So finally, how do we respond to this? Well, firstly, we trust and accept this is a gift. We can't put right ourselves, the sin in us. We can't save ourselves from doing lots of good things. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And this doesn't mean that we do away with the law, namely the Ten Commandments, but we aim to live by the law as our heart responds to what God has done for us. God's law and word show us how to live lives that reflect God's glory. And they also help us to reflect his truth, justice and ethics, his ways he wants us to live. As God promises to live in us by his Holy Spirit, meaning we're set apart for God's special use and purpose, this is a progressive work that results in us actually becoming more like Christ. Finally, of course, we won't always get things right. We do make mistakes and we still sin against God and each other. That's why Jesus taught us to say the Lord's Prayer, to daily seek his forgiveness as we seek to forgive others, to be led not into temptation, but delivered from evil, so we can live our lives well for him. One day, Jesus will return, signalling a new heaven and earth. And Revelation 21 says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed." One day we will be with God, and sin, death, evil, pain and suffering will be no more. Until that day, it really does matter how we live our lives. Trusting God, obedient to his word, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, following our call, we give our all to work for God's kingdom. God is actively renewing and building now. And the amazing thing is he equips us to help us in the task. So let's remember, God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit have brought salvation. We are free from the power of sin. We're a liberated, redeemed people with resurrection hope. Let's live this out in faith and trust. Amen.